Growing pains. What do you think of when you think of growing pains? I think of teenage young men that seem to grow a foot over a summer, over a year. And the high waters, if you know what I'm talking about, with the pants that have grown too short in seemingly a short amount of time. Also think of voices cracking, and I have to tell one on myself. My college roommate, Keith Smith, if you were to see him, he would be glad to tell you about this one, that I was leading singing at during a chapel at Faulkner University, and the song was, "I'll Be a Friend to Jesus." If you remember the chorus, it goes up to a high note, I believe to an F, and when I tried to hit that note, my voice just cracked. And when I got back to the dorm room, Keith was laughing hysterically. And I, "What's wrong, Keith?" And "Your voice cracked." And that apparently I brought a lot of joy to him on that occasion. Growing pains, growing pains. But just as our physical bodies may experience growing pains, even so, as we grow spiritually, as we grow in our relationship with God, we will also encounter growing pains. You see, when we become Christians, we begin a never-ending growth process. That's the way God designed it, and that's the way He desires it, that we continue to grow more and more into the likeness of Jesus. We begin as babes in Christ, and we're to grow to spiritual maturity. That's His design. But that spiritual growth process can be painful at times. One of the painful aspects of spiritual growth is experiencing God's discipline. We've been studying some lessons about waiting on the Lord. And I believe waiting on the Lord in those when we're in God's waiting room, that can be a painful experience for us. But it can also be a time of growth, spiritual growth in our lives. Hebrews 12 speaks of God's discipline. He disciplines those that He loves. Hebrews 12, verse 7 says, "Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father?" But notice it says, "Endure hardship as discipline." I think we need to expand our understanding of God's discipline, that it's not always punishment, but it is always training. It is always training. Just as parents discipline their children in order to train them how to live, God disciplines us in order to teach us and in order to help us to grow. And again, that can be a painful process. Hebrews 12 also says, "Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in His holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, and all the children of the world shout amen, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it." And even enduring God's discipline, it can be unpleasant. Waiting on the Lord can be difficult, even painful. But these verses assure us that it is for our good. So if we're waiting on the Lord in some circumstance in our lives, waiting on a prayer to be answered, waiting for our physical bodies to heal or to mend, waiting on different things in our lives, but waiting on the Lord, we need to be asking, how can I grow from this experience? What is God teaching me through this? And as painful as it is, if waiting on the Lord has produced growth in our spiritual development, then that waiting has been worth it. I want to share a parable with you about a little teacup. And yes, gentlemen, this isn't very manly, thinking about a little teacup. And if you come out of this auditorium singing, "I'm a little teacup, short and stout," I'm going to be very upset with you. But I want you to pay attention to it, though it is about a little teacup. There's a lot of meaning to this parable. Joanne Howe whom, by the way, has spoken at Spiritual Enrichment and is scheduled to speak, Lord willing, at our upcoming Spiritual Enrichment, has told this little parable about the little teacup. It's a story of an American couple who went to England, and they're celebrating their 25th wedding anniversary. And this man and this woman are fanciers of antiques, pottery, and china, hence their interest in this little teacup. And they go to a very famous shop in England, and they spot this little teacup sitting alone on a top shelf. "May I see that?" the man asks the shopkeeper. "I've never seen a teacup like that before. It's absolutely beautiful." And then as this parable goes, the teacup begins to speak. Now listen carefully to what the teacup says. "You don't understand. I haven't always been a teacup. There was a time that I was red, made of clay. My master took me and rolled me and patted me over and over and over. And when he did so, I yelled out, 'Let me alone.' But he only smiled and said, 'Not yet.' Then I was placed on a spinning wheel, and suddenly I was spun around and around and around. 'Stop it,' I said. 'I'm getting dizzy,' I screamed. The master only nodded and said, 'Not yet.' Then he put me in a hot oven. I had never felt such heat. I wondered why he wanted me to burn like that. And I yelled and knocked at the door. I could see him through the opening, and I could read his lips as he shook his head and said, 'Not yet.' Finally, the door did open. Whew! He put me on a shelf, and I began to cool. 'There, that's better,' I said. He only smiled. Then suddenly he brushed me and painted me all over. The fumes were horrible, and I was gagging for air. 'Stop it, stop it. I can't stand it,' I cried. He only nodded and said, 'Not yet.' Then suddenly he put me back into another oven, unlike the first one, and twice as hot. I knew that I would not last, and I began to suffocate. I begged, I pleaded, I screamed, I cried, and all the time I would see him through the opening and nodding his head and saying, 'Not yet.' Then I knew there was no hope, and I was doomed to perish. I was ready to give up, but the door opened, and he took me out and placed me on a shelf. 1 hour later, he handed me a mirror and said, 'Look at yourself.' And I did. I gasped, 'That's not me. It couldn't be.' I said, 'I'm beautiful.' 'I want you to remember,' the master said, 'I know how it hurt to be rolled and patted. But if I left you, you would have dried up. I know how you must have been dizzy spinning around on that wheel. But if I had stopped, you would have crumbled to pieces. I know it hurt and pained you while you were in that oven, but if I hadn't put you there, you would have cracked. I know the fumes were bad when I brushed you and painted you all over, but you see, if I hadn't done that, you would never have hardened. There would never have been any color in your life. And if I hadn't put you back into the second oven, you wouldn't have survived for very long, and the hardness would not have held. Now you're a beautiful, shining product for all to admire and appreciate. You're a finished product. You're what I had in mind when I first began working on you.'" Here's the application. Some of us are being rolled and patted, and we can't stand it. Some of us are being spun around, and we're dizzy from life, and we object to it. Some of us are in the oven, and it's all that we can take. Others of us are being brushed and painted all over, and the fumes are much too unbearable. Still others are in the oven twice as hot as the first oven, and we still don't think that we can possibly survive. And all the time, we look to the master, and he shakes his head and says, "Not yet." As delicate as a teacup is, I hope all of us can relate to the message. We can probably think in times in our lives when we can identify with some of the processes that teacup had to go through its formation. We may feel like we can relate to some of those times. But God allows us to experience spiritual growing pains in order to mold us more into the image of Jesus and to make us even more effective servants in his kingdom. Many of us have sung these words, "Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I'm yielded, while I'm waiting, yielded and still." We've sung those words. Have we really thought about what we've sung? And have we thought that that molding and making, as that teacup would testify, can be a very painful process? But we need to recognize that though it can be a painful process, God is molding us into more and more of what we need to be, what he wants us to be, more and more like Jesus. God can help us to grow spiritually as we wait. And I want to highlight five areas in which we can grow as we wait upon the Lord. The first one is that we can grow in faith. We grow in faith during those waiting periods in our lives. Our waiting allows us to see just how weak and powerless we are in so many cases. Many of us learn over and over how that we are not in control of all the circumstances of our lives. And it's when we're waiting that that truth is often echoed and shouted at us. It's a hard lesson for some to learn, but as we wait, we learn more and more not to rely upon our own resources, but to rely more and more upon God, to trust him more. Rosemary McKnight writes this in her book, Those Who Wait. She says, "I'm an organizer. I like things orderly and on schedule. When Gary, her husband, lost his job, I realized I couldn't plan things for a year or two in advance, and it frightened me. I finally came to a point where I prayed, 'God, I don't know what the future holds, and I'm frightened by its uncertainty. Father, I know that you know what is best for us and you will work for our good. Help me to trust you more.'" And then she says, "At that point, I began to put my faith in God's judgment rather than my own. It took a lot of pressure off me and helped me focus my dependence on God." If periods of waiting can help us to rely more fully upon God, then it's worth the wait. Isaiah 25 verse 9 says, "In that day we will say, 'Surely this is our God. We trusted in him and he saved us. This is the Lord. We trusted in him. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation.'" If you can look back over a time of waiting in your life and see a period of growth as you've grown in your faith and in your trust in God, then that wait has been worth it. Growing in faith as we wait upon the Lord includes also growing in knowledge. As Peter says, "Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And as we grow in our knowledge of God and his ways, as we study God's word, we study people like Abraham, like we're studying on Wednesday night. And this has really impressed me as we've been looking at his life, how that faith that Abraham had and is known for and is held up as a model of, even in the New Testament, that a central element of that faith was that trust that he had in God. When all of his circumstances would say no to God's promises, Abraham chose to trust in God. He believed that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And if we can put more and more of our trust in God and rely upon him and place our confidence and hope in him, even while we're waiting, then we grow in faith. But while we wait, we also can grow in character. We grow in character. Paul told Christians in Rome that their suffering would produce character. Notice with me Romans 5, 3 and 4. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character. And character, hope. We rejoice in our sufferings, Paul was able to say and was able to teach, because of what that can do for us in our lives as we grow in our relationship with God. Because sufferings, enduring sufferings, produces perseverance in us. And as we persevere through these trials, through these times of waiting, then we develop character. And that brings us hope. The fact is, God may use our times of waiting to test us. It can have a refining process in our lives if we handle it properly. And like the little teacup, the process may be painful, but it'll be worth it in the end. Let me remind you of a quote by Helen Keller that I shared recently, but just fit this point so nicely. Character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Only through experience of trial and suffering can the soul be strengthened, ambition inspired, and success achieved. And just as I encouraged you recently, thinking about Helen Keller and the experiences that she had, and making this statement, it really causes us to think about what she has said. And it's so true, character cannot be developed in ease and quiet. Character is developed when we persevere through trials. And God will not instantly give us character. It must be developed. And that's why He allows us to go through difficulties, to go through periods of waiting, that our character, we may grow in character, but also grow in compassion. Our waiting experiences help us to develop a greater compassion for others. I've been reminded of that this past week. Many of you have commiserated with me and your kidney stone stories. Cubby Sellers, I tell about you all the time when the subject of kidney stones comes up. Because I remember Cubby and Anita telling me about one time when he was battling a kidney stone, and he had Miss Anita stop the car, and he got out and he hugged a telephone pole trying to find some relief from the pain. And those who have been there have compassion on those who are experiencing the difficulty. But while we wait, let's remember that God is a compassionate God. Listen to 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. God cares. And He wants to extend His compassion and His comfort to us when we're going through difficulty. But we're not to just keep that to ourselves. The passage goes on to say, God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. God comforts us, but He also comforts us as we wait, so that we can help comfort others. Who can sympathize with a widow better than another widow? Who can sympathize with a cancer patient better than another cancer patient? Who understands the feelings of a person with an illness better than someone who has experienced that same illness? As we wait, it's God's design, His desire, that we grow in compassion. Because as we wait, we recognize So this is what that person was going through when they were waiting. And when it happens in the future, oh, I remember how that was. And it makes us more compassionate on them. I read about a lady by the name of Leah Fowler of Noonan, Georgia. She told of a time when one of her children was hospitalized and everyone believed that her child was going to die. She was distressed. She said her husband couldn't comfort her. Her preacher couldn't comfort her. She thought to herself, if only I could talk with someone who has been through this, I would feel better. They would understand what I'm feeling. Well, her daughter lived, but Miss Fowler said she learned about the importance of compassion and ministering to others who are going through something that you have experienced. Rosemary McKnight also commented about how the time that she and her husband lost their first baby due to miscarriage. She says, a friend of mine came to visit me. I still remember her saying, God never allowed me to have children, so I don't know how to comfort you. After you make it through this, you will know how to comfort other women who lose a baby. You will be able to help them much better than I. Rosemary McKnight says, that made a great impression on me. It helped me develop a greater sense of compassion for couples who've lost their babies. During our times of waiting, there are opportunities for us to grow in compassion for others who have similar waiting experiences. We also can grow in perspective. Waiting helps us grow in our perspective toward life and eternity. We often lose sight of what's really important in our day-to-day lives. And it's not until sometimes we're forced to stop and to wait that we really begin to think what life is really about. We really rethink our priorities. We examine our lives and we learn again to focus on what is important. Like an illness or an injury may stop us in our tracks, but then we're able to appreciate our health more and our family and friends that are seeking to help us and pray for us. And it may even give us an opportunity to have some more time to study our Bibles and to pray to God. I think about the psalmist's statement. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I obey your word. It took affliction in the psalmist's life, he says, in order to be forced to go back to the word and to be obedient to it. He would also say in verse 71 of Psalm 119, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. It is good for us when we're afflicted if it draws us closer to God and it helps us grow in our perspective. A cancer victim told of how her illness changed her perspective. She said, I used to sit around and think about what my husband and I would do when we're 80. Now I don't look that far into the future. I try to concentrate on the present and live each day to the fullest. That's a change in perspective. Not of what will we do when, but how am I using my time right now? But then a final area that waiting can help us grow in is it can help us to grow in perseverance. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Patient in affliction. And I suspected that this word was a very active word, and that is the case. It comes from a Greek word that means to remain under. If you will, picture a burden that you're carrying around, and it's making that choice to remain under and continue to carry that burden and not give up. It's a very active word. It means to endure, to bear bravely and calmly. The idea is persevering in times of affliction. But you see, we learn to persevere by enduring trials. Isn't that what James said? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. But it's in facing those trials of many kinds that we develop perseverance. So waiting helps us to grow in our ability to endure and persevere. It's vital to our spiritual growth. Just as muscles have to be exercised in order to grow, we must exercise perseverance. We must endure trials if we're to grow spiritually. It may be difficult to develop, but developing perseverance has its rewards. Listen to Hebrews 10:36. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. I'm speaking to many tonight that know a lot more about waiting than I do. I know some of the things for which many of you have waited. I know how some of you are waiting even tonight. But I want us to think about this. If our period of waiting has brought us closer to God, there is a reason to rejoice. If you've experienced growing pains that have produced in your life greater faith, a greater perspective on life and eternity, if your time of waiting has helped you grow in compassion for others who are going through difficulties, if it's helped form your character more to that of Christ, and if it's taught you to persevere, then your waiting has been worth it. Let's keep growing. And even though there may be pain in those spiritual growing pains, let's continue to allow God to work in our lives to bring about the change He wants to see, that our character be conformed more and more to that of Jesus. If tonight you need to respond to the invitation of Christ, perhaps it's to obey the gospel of Jesus. And we hope and pray that if you've been contemplating that you will act upon your faith, put your trust in Jesus, having turned from sin, be baptized into Christ so that your sins can be washed away, so that you can become a child of God. But if during your time of waiting you are seeking to draw nearer to God and it has made you more aware of your relationship and some changes that need to be made with your relationship with God, if you need the prayers of the church to that end, won't you let that be known, and won't you come right now as we stand and sing.